Well, welcome everybody to the Wednesday night women's Bible study. I'm going to go in back order this time. We have two Vermonters with us today, both Megan. Hello, Megan.
Hi, Robin.
And Karen.
Hi, Robin.
And then we have our Texas lady, Ann. Hello, Ann.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Robin.
And I'm in Maryland. I don't know what that means. We're glad everybody joined us, and we're continuing with the Walking in the Spirit seminar, and we're now on the gifts of healing. And these, of course, are all outlined. It's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so this is the gift we're going to take a look at tonight. And Anne, because I never get you to read, would you read the definition there of what we're talking about with the gifts of healing?
Okay. Does this is the supernatural power to heal all manner of sickness without human aid or medicine.
So we're going to be, that's the definition, so to speak, of this gift of the Holy Spirit. And as we know, the gifts are given to profit the body, and this being one of them. So, did you, either any of you want to say anything before we start reading the scriptures on these?
No.
Okay. So, gifts of healing. We have two that are really mirrors. One is in Matthew and one is in Mark. So the first one is Matthew 10:1. Karen, if you would read that.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Okay. That's kind of a, it's kind of what we're talking about, really. He gave them power to do all of this. So that fits in that to heal all manner of sickness without human aid or medicine. And then the next one is Megan, Mark 3:15.
And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils.
So that's Mark's telling of the same thing. And I don't know if we needed to read a little bit more on that. Let's take a look.
Maybe verse, the one before.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and do that.
And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils.
Okay, you know.
And then he names them.
Yeah. It might be a good time to actually look at Mark 16, just because, and this is one that is listed later on down in this study. But if you, starting with verse 14, Karen.
Okay, on Mark 16.
Yeah.
Okay. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Okay. That's, they're now being sent forth because they believe. And these signs, and we know they, he's speaking to the apostles here, these signs followed them not only because the Lord gave them that power, but these signs followed them that believe. And so as we look at the healings done by Peter and Paul, they were given this power. And we know that signs, the Lord always backs up his word with his power. And so it's something to remember as we look at this, because it is the gospel that he sent them forth to preach, and that we are sent forth by his apostles even to this day to do likewise. And so then when you look at this study in that context, apostles have every gift. The body, though, and we're going to look at Philip in here in one of these scriptures. And Philip wasn't an apostle, but there were many miracles wrought by Philip because he fit this definition. Number one, he believed, and he believed the gospel, and he went forth and preached the gospel, and signs followed him. But the Lord then, through his administration, divides up these gifts amongst the body so that in an apostle's absence, or because the body works together to profit it, everybody in the body, he gives these gifts out to individuals as he will. So we've looked at word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, and now we're looking at the gifts of healing. And there are those who have this gift, and it's just a gift. They move in it because of it, not it's not prompted by the Lord. It is just there for them to use. That's my understanding.
One of the other things about this particular one is if you look at the other ones are single, and this, the gifts of healing, it's plural gifts. And what the reason for that is the gifts are given, as you said, to those in the church so that they can still operate in the absence of an apostle who has all of them. But the gifts of healing, it's talked of as a plural thing because more than one person in any body can have a gift of healing, so that it is able to be spread a little more throughout the entire body.
Yeah. Lest he be in, he or she be inundated by too many sick folk.
Sure.
Right. Thank you, Megan. So the first one is in James, and it's healing by the church. So that's in James chapter 5 verses 14 and 15. I think Karen, actually it's you, Megan, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
I think so.
All right, I can read it. James 5 verse 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Yeah. So this actually looks to a person that is in need of healing going and asking for this prayer. And then you notice that the elders of the church, those who have exercised themselves in the faith of the gospel, and in the gifts, they then pray, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And this is something I'll be curious as to your all's statements, because it says, in the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And, you know, I was thinking about this today, and there was a couple thoughts I had. One was, first of all, to come and confess a need, especially a long-standing need, is humbling. And it recognizes a need before God and an obedience to his instruction as to receiving the answer to that need. Another aspect of it is sometimes where sickness is due to sin in our life. Arthritis is one of those ones that is an example of that. It is often associated, you know, with bitterness. But I remember there was in the gospel where Jesus healed a man, and the disciples then came up to him and asked him, was it this man's sin or his parents? And the Lord said it was neither. It was because it was just for God's glory. But you also saw Jesus tell people to go and sin no more. And I, in looking at this scripture, those things had come up to me in thinking about it. And I know I've had, most particularly, I had lost the use of my hands not that long ago, really about 13 years ago. And it was through my own actions. And it's the thing about that, when I think about it, is I had to change what caused me. I had to repent of what was the motivator behind the actions that made me lose the use of my hands. And that is a repentance of sin. And the Lord restored them to me. So I open that up for you guys to comment as you're led.
One thing you did touch on that I want to emphasize, in the beginning it says, let him call for the elders of the church. You have to ask. A lot of times we don't feel it's important enough, or it'll take up someone's time, or it's an inconvenience or something to ask, but we have to ask for that healing. We have to go to the elders and ask. And we can't let anything stop us from that.
Amen. Meekin or Karen?
Really, I didn't have something to say about that, but it goes on in 16, to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. So what you were talking about, Robin, is repenting of that thing and then, you know, confessing to one another, asking for the elders of the church, but also to confess to one another.
Yeah. Let the light shine in, right?
Amen.
Meekin?
I was going to tell you in the Strong's app that I have, said, for save, to deliver or protect, literally or figuratively, heal, preserve, save self, do well or be made whole. I think your example is in the sense of showing, go and sin no more. Your example showed that really nicely.
And, you know, the truth is that on that, speaking from the knowledge of my own self, you know, you have ways about you. And I speak of myself, that I find it's like little capillaries. The same kind of issue that drove me to what I did that caused that to happen is one that shows up in other places. And it's something that, I've come to recognize that it's a place that I need to overcome, and it really is from the same root as, you know, and it expresses itself in different ways, and you kind of think, okay, well, I've stopped doing that, or at least I see it and seeking not to repeat that. And then lo and behold, there you are in something entirely different where it's really just being expressed kind of differently. And, I just find the walk in the Lord is one that is a humble walk for many reasons, but one is because the Lord wants to make us whole and free of things. The problem is we got a lot of things that aren't free. And so in his love, he shines a light on it, but you can get kind of hung up about the fact that all there is like, sometimes it's like crap, you know. But it really is the, you know, what it takes to just be set free from all this garbage that we can, even not knowing, walk in. We're not aware of, but as the Lord shines the light, don't be offended, but just thank him, because it's not a negation of you. It's a negation of that thing, you know, but we are made acceptable by his blood. And, but he wants to cleanse us of all things that, you know, of all unrighteousness. And it's just there. And, go ahead. Somebody took off their mute.
Yeah, I did. In 16, where it says, confess your faults one to another, that doesn't mean you have to go confess all your sins to each other. Basically, a fault is an error, an unintentional error, or a willful transgression.
Yeah.
It's different from a sin.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Anne.
Because we don't need to go around confessing our sins to each other.
No, and it's not everything is everybody's business, for sure.
That's right.
But I know my discipler will say things about me, and it's like, I mean, it just is, you know, it's what I've walked in for so long. It's like kind of hard to not, you know, to let go of that stuff and put it off. You know, it's my way, so to speak, if you want to put it that way.
Sometimes you have to confess your sin to, you know, your discipler or your pastor. But in this scripture, you know, one says one to another, I've heard them say, but you have to go confess your sins to everybody.
Yeah.
And that's not the way it goes.
No. You know, it kind of happens in conversation sometimes, because I know when you converse, like Megan, when I'm over at your house, sometimes, you know, you give recognition to something that you recognize and are overcoming. Actually, in that place, you know, your sister or brother in the Lord is now in a position to support you in prayer, but also to, when they see it, let you know, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's not like go around and act like, I have this and this and this and, oh, I've done this, that, and the other thing. No, it's not that.
But it's like, talking to one another about things that are going on, and that helps.
Yeah.
And you get advice on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something that you can talk about and not hold it in and, you know, talk to other people about it.
Yeah.
And if you're having trouble overcoming it, then you can depend on prayer from your brother and sister.
Yeah. But thank you. And Megan, I appreciate you also doing that one save, because it is heal, as you said, is, it was translated save, but the Strong's definition includes heal and be whole. So
anyone who's been in a lot of pain knows that when the pain is not there, they're saved from it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that isn't what you were also saying, that, you know, earlier about it being actually saved.
Yeah, but I think that was a good and worthy light that you shone on there. So praise God. So I think, Karen, it's your turn, and we're going to look at healings done by Peter. So we're going to go into the book of Acts, and the very first one is chapter 3, and the study says 6 and 7, but just so we see, if you would start up at verse 2 and read down through 8, that would be great.
And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
Amen. That is definitely the supernatural power to heal all manner of sickness without human aid or medicine. Amen.
And, you know, one of the ways that we know that this is still for today is Anne has a similar testimony to this. As you were reading it, Karen, I was remembering Anne's story of pretty much the same thing. Her ankle bones received strength.
Right. And Anne, you can tell us your ankle wasn't even connected or something to your leg bones, was it?
No, nothing was connected. There was all the ligaments, cartilages, everything was ripped. Only thing holding my foot together was the skin. And this is before I even came to the Lord. I didn't know the Lord and didn't know I could have a personal relationship with him. And Davey prayed for me, and I got up and walked. And I'd been told I'd never walk again. And I proved those doctors wrong. And I've been walking ever since, and that's been, what,
38 years.
Years.
Yes, you're walking just fine, Ann.
Yes, amen. And there's no weakness in it. It's, you know, there's nothing to show that there'd been a past injury. You healed it perfectly.
Well, that's the one thing, if you think about it. This is a supernatural healing, and as was yours, Anne, because when you think about healings and natural healings, what we've all experienced, there's kind of like that time of recuperation. And every time you see healing in the Word, it's instant, complete. There's no atrophy of muscles. There's no anything. And this man, I think, was lame from his mother's womb. There weren't any muscles there, and yet when his ankles received strength, part of that was his muscles too, became like yours and mine, you know, well able to now go forward and walk, because she was leaping and walking and praising God.
And even thinking about somebody who never walked before getting up and walking, because that's a feat in itself.
Yeah, they've never, right, they didn't go through the waddling stage, right? So, yeah, I mean, and we know that these things, I mean, also, I mean, this man profited from that, don't get me wrong, as do we all, but they also testified to the truth of the gospel that Peter preached. And that testified, Anne, I know, for you to the truth of the gospel, which Davy preached. And that's the thing. If you look at, read the book of Acts and everything, you see that as these men went forth, that signs followed, and people were then moved because of that testimony to receive the word that they had spoken. And I think you would have agreed with that kind of thing for yourself, wouldn't you, Anne?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. So, praise God that for that healing. Acts 5, verse 12-15.
And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them.
You know, when I read this, this is, you know, Jesus walked in this, obviously, same power amongst these same people. They crucified him. Peter and others now come doing likewise, and these people are brought to repentance and believe the gospel. You know, and it's, of course, now Jesus has died and made that way of reconciliation, and you see a harvest being reaped here. And when, I think we're going to look at it in one of the scriptures, but Jesus had told them that they would do greater works than him. And here we have an example with just people coming so that Peter's shadow passing over them, or they're sick. They were healed by that shadow of Peter.
I'd like to read 16 also.
Okay.
There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a few, all of them.
And you know, that was so that they could then go forward and believe the gospel. Right?
Right, and that was like me when I was healed of being crippled. I didn't believe the gospel, but because of that, it caused me to search the scriptures until I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Yeah. So it wasn't just so that you could walk. It was so that testimony, that which Davy had spoken was true, that then made you, move you to find out if, you know, check it out, so to speak.
Amen.
So the next one is with Peter is Acts chapter 9, and it's verse 34. But let me take a look my if we should start a little earlier or go a little further. You can read from 32 down through 35.
And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord.
Yeah. You know, one of the beautiful things about verse 34 is Peter right here speaks, which is the truth in every healing. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. It is not Peter that did any of this. And in this instance, we see Peter state it clearly. And I think in reading this that Aeneas would have been a believer, and now Peter brings that healing. So, I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that before we move to healing stunned by Paul. And the first one of that is in chapter 8. Now these actually kind of go backwards here. We're going to start at the end and go backwards. So the first one is chapter 28. This is one we're very familiar with, because we've read a lot about Paul in the shipwreck and landing on the island of Melita. And so now, and the viper, where everybody thought he was going to die and was surely guilty. And we come to, if you'd read 7 through 9.
In the same quarters were possessions of the chief men of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed.
Amen. And, you know, this is the kind of end of, a matter of weeks in which Paul stood and people were moved. The centurion, people on the ship, and now people on this island. So, And you see the forwardness of Paul. The next one, unless you guys have something to say, is in Acts chapter 19. And let's see. So 19, 11, and 12, please.
And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them.
And it, just going up the verse before, if you don't mind, because it kind of follows along with what we're saying here, Paul had been preaching the word, and then it follows with the miracles that were wrought by the hands of Paul. If you'd read verse 10.
And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks.
Yeah. They all heard the word of the Lord Jesus, and the Lord backed it up with, once again, doing more than what Jesus himself had done, because now they just bring handkerchiefs and aprons to Paul. And when brought back then to people with diseases or evil spirits, they are made whole, either by deliverance or healing.
That reminds me of John 14:12, which we haven't gotten to yet, but doing greater works than the Lord.
Yeah.
He said, thou shalt do greater works than these.
Yeah. And it's good to point these out as examples of that, because that is what Jesus said would happen. Thanks, Karen. The next one is Acts 14. Why don't you start at, 6, just because I'd have you start at 7, but it doesn't quite make sense.
Sure. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked.
Amen. And it's an interesting chapter, but we won't go into it. But all of these, you know, seeing the response then, these things move people. But there you see also Paul's discernment that he perceived that he had faith to be healed. And you see Paul walking in that same kind of thing that we saw Jesus walk in, where Jesus perceived, knew what was going on behind the scenes, so to speak, in a person. Because this person didn't say anything, but Paul was given that discernment or wisdom and then acted upon it. That would be an example of, you know, that gift that is at his use as he uses it. And then the last one, because the way this is written out, then it goes back to Acts 19:12, which we read when we read 11. So the last one is in Acts 20. Why don't you start just with 7 then, and you can go through 12.
And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down, and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted.
Yeah. That's a beautiful scripture, where Paul here is amongst the brethren, and he's ministering prior to his departure, and in the midst of this, a young man falls and dies, and Paul just goes down, and the man is raised from the dead, you know. His life is restored, and it brought comfort to them. You know, they And Paul just continued on with that which he was saying before he was to leave. But they could believe Paul. It was evident God was with him. Anne, do you have anything you would want to say on that?
No, I don't.
Okay. The next one is just healing and deliverance, and it's found in Acts chapter 8. If you would start at verse 5 in Acts chapter 8.
Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. There was great joy in that city.
Yeah. So, you know, and Philip was an evangelist, just to for people to know. He wasn't an apostle. I don't read anywhere in Acts that he was a prophet. He was an evangelist. And yet he walked so really displayed some of these gifts, certainly healing, because people were delivered from unclean spirits, and they were healed. Palsies, the lame, they were healed. And you notice up there that in verse six, it says the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And he walked in that. I guess one thing I want to just point out here, Philip was just a man. He was a sinner like the rest of us. But what you see here is a man that actually believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he was then called to go preach and to be, he did it by faith, and he obviously was not hung up either about his sin and how horrible he was or about how great he was, and that's why he was doing this. He understood the gospel, and it was good and good enough for him, and he went forward in it. And Philip, he's not Paul, he's not Peter, he didn't walk with Jesus that we know of, but either way, he wasn't an apostle. This is just a man that served the Lord because he believed the sufficiency of the gospel for him and then went forth to bring it to others. And God showed up and mighty things. We hear of Philip multiple times in the scriptures and the fruit of his service to God, using that which God gave him to profit the body and to glorify God. He believed God. So, as Anne read earlier, the gifts of healing, it's the supernatural power to heal all manner of sickness without human aid or medicine. And then there's a few scriptures there we can look at, and the first one being Mark 16:18, which we have looked read, but we can just reread that. You can read the whole 15 through 18
okay.
Again. Thanks.
And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
All of that is the fruit of belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ and its sufficiency for anyone. John 14:12, which Karen was the one you referred to just a short time ago.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
I don't know. I don't see anybody that's left out of that. It's just simply believing on him, actually taking him at his word and having that be the, you know, him being the Lord of our life. Now that's what we believe and that's what we walk in. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. We're his representatives here now. He did everything it took to empower us to become the sons of God, and to do even as he did. And then the last one is 1 Corinthians 12:9.
Should I just read that one verse?
Yes, because we've read this all through. This is that listing of the gifts that God gives to the body to profit with all.
Okay. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit.
Yeah. So, in this study, there is a little discussion on entitled God Heals. So what it says, it goes, no man can heal. God uses three ways to heal the sick. He can use them together or individually. So I thought I'd give each of you a chance to read one of them. So Megan, would you just start, and then Karen, and then Anne?
Sure. Number one, nature. In this way, the natural defenses of the body are employed against illness or disease. For example, if you cut yourself, you will bleed. The blood will clot, and your body will supply antibodies that will fight off infection, and in due time, you will heal. On the other hand, if you don't heal, God can use a different approach.
And before Karen moves on, you know, the thing is we are the God created a body that doesn't even let things come in. I mean, think of how many times we come across germs that could cause us to have a flu or a virus or a this or a that, and we don't. This is an aspect of nature and how God has set us up, else we'd be always having to be overcoming sickness and stuff. You know what I'm saying? But then when we do get sick, and everybody's been sick, our body actually goes to work, and we come out the other side, even as it's described here.
Amen. And the second one is the doctor. If the infection sets in and spreads, you might go to the doctor who might lance the wound and give you a shot of some wonder drug to cure you. But that is just about all he can do. It's back to nature and the Lord to do the actual healing. If this doesn't work, then, as believers, we have yet another approach we can take.
Okay. So, Anne, this one's yours.
God, the gift of healing. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. James 5:14-15. We can go to the elders of the church, as the Word of God says, or we can go directly to God in the name of Jesus Christ, Mark 16:17, and he will heal us. In all three ways, though, it is God who does the actual healing, not any man, as he's supposed. Also, God can do it in any order that he chooses to do it in, or without him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in all the time that I was a nurse, I never saw that. But it is a truth. Doctors can cut you open or stitch you up. They can put things in or take things out. They can give you medicine of various kinds. But they cannot actually heal you. That truly is something the Lord gives to us, each of us, you know?
Amen.
That really is well put, Megan. I appreciate that. And you know, it's kind of an interesting thing, Anne. I know there's a couple examples in your life with your children where I know Carrie one time right before a Bible study broke her ankle.
She broke her leg.
Her leg, okay. I'll let you tell the story, because...
Well, she had run out and she tripped and fell and broke her leg. And, I mean, you could see the bone. I mean, it was awful. You actually could see the break. And so Davey and I laid hands on her. We had others with us also. And you could actually, when we prayed for her to be healed, you could actually feel the bone go back into place. And she got up and walked back into the house.
Yeah. Never had to take her anywhere.
No.
Yeah.
Never took her to the emergency room or anything, which in the natural people would have done.
Sure. And that's an example of, or we allow him. Also, God can do it in any order that he chooses to do it in.
That's right.
And then, of course, you had the example of Kim when she got the concussion that was going to kill her.
Yeah, Kim had, she had a 4-inch fracture in the back of her skull, and when she had fallen and hit her head, the brain, it was like whiplash, hit the front of her skull, which is bumpy, which I didn't know. And that caused deep blood clots, brain was swelling, and deep bruising of her brain. And she was kind of semi-comatose. And the doctor had pulled us aside and told us that she was not going to make it through the night. There was nothing they could do. This was after a CAT scan. There was nothing they could do, and she was going to die. And we went into the room, and we told the doctor, you know, it's okay, we'll handle it. And he looked at us like we were nuts, but we went in and laid hands on her and prayed and rebuked the spirit of death and asked the Lord to heal her brain and her skull. And right after that, the doctor walked in the room with some interns and residences to show them the dying girl. And she sat up in bed and she says, I'm hungry. She said, I got to go to the bathroom. And she got up, grabbed her IV thing and went to the bathroom. And I've never seen a look on a man's face. His mouth flew open. He lost all color. And from then on, he admitted that God healed her.
Yeah.
He called her his miracle patient because he couldn't do a thing for her, so it had to be God.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny when you say that, too, because it seems as though oftentimes when people are raised from the dead, which in Kim almost was, in a sense, yes, that they're hungry. I know Joseph ate more than he'd ever eaten before at that point in his life. Didn't he, Megan?
Yes, he did. I was thinking of that with the man who fell out the window that we just read about in Acts. With
I was too, Megan. That came into my mind about Joe when it happened to him.
Yep, was it in Acts 20 when he fell out the window?
Yeah. Oh, golly days. I think so.
Anyway.
It was an app.
Yes, they got up and they ate. And you see with Jairus' daughter, Jesus said to the parents, feed her.
Yeah.
I have always found that an interesting observation. It doesn't happen quite so much when you're sick. You generally take a while of eating small amounts as you regain your strength, but when you raised from the dead, by golly, you're hungry.
Yep, and then of course you saw it borne out in your own life. I know, like when Peter's mother-in-law was healed, I don't believe it says she got up and ate, but it does say she got up and she served them.
Yes.
I mean, she was completely whole and free of anything that would have impeded her service then.
Right.
Well, thanks, Megan, for bringing that up, because I never realized that before, that in most of these instances, the first thing they do is want to eat.
Yep.
And I know they were scrambling trying to find her food, because that's her whole complaint. Nothing else is, I want something to eat. Feed me.
Yeah.
So next week we'll do Working of Miracles. And I hope you guys will join us. Thanks for joining us tonight. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.